The founder and owner of Grande Experiences and the Loom, Bruce Peterson.
Somebody lying half awake one night might have come up with this idea, but how did you come up with it?
Well, it's an interesting story, actually. I started life as an artifact-based exhibition company, and we created the largest experience on Leonardo da Vinci, and I was living in Rome at the time to do that, and I was dragging my three young kids around all the great museums and galleries that there are in Italy and France, and without a word of a lie, within 5 minutes, my kids are tugging me on the hip pocket in the Vatican Museum or the Uffizi Gallery going, "Dad, this is boring, let's go get a gelati." And when I asked them, what's boring, guys? Why aren't you enjoying it? We're in the middle of art and culture of the history of the world here. I said, "Oh, look, nothing's moving." And then one of my other daughters said, "It'd be great if there was some music." And that was sort of my aha moment. And so I sort of ventured on a pathway then of moving from an artifact-based exhibition company into multimedia. And now here we are, we're really in a multi-sensory experience, immersive world. And 210 exhibitions and experiences later, we can see it's a success for people.
So I gather you've done a few little trials, out-of-town trials of this, but this is the sort of biggest in the world, right?
Yeah, correct. We've been touring our experiences around the world and still do. We've got 15 experiences on around the world right at this moment and a number of Van Goghs in other cities. But this is the biggest and the most permanent that we've done to date. This is our flagship, if you like. This is my Mount Everest.
You've got a deal with the Convention Centre for 3 years plus, I believe, from Peter. So 5 years, effectively.
Well, yeah, 5 years initially, and all things going well, I think it could extend itself, but we'll see how the Melbourne public embrace it, which I'm sure they will. And look, it's a great partnership because the MCEC obviously has been hit pretty hard through COVID, and we had a standalone venue organised, but we thought the blend of coming in here and being able to use this also for corporate events in the evening, so the MCEC can leverage what we have and the technology that we have for all the customers that come here. And I think the MCEC will find that this is a real differentiator for them to win business away from other convention centres around the world.
I think you're absolutely right. Just give us some idea of the technology that's involved. A lot of video projectors, I imagine.
Yeah, look, there's 143 high-definition barcode projectors in there. I won't tell you how much they cost, but yeah, it's some country's GDP. Then we've got a massive spatial 9-channel sound system throughout. Then we have a Roma that is pumping through, a little hard with the mask on to pick it up because it's quite subtle. And there's 65 kilometres of cabling in there, so you sort of go from the MCEC down to Frankston and back. $1 million of power that's had to come into the building and to run and drive everything. So it's quite an infrastructure to get this up and going.
It's an absolutely fantastic idea. And to see art on a scale like this, I was saying to Peter before, you go to France and the Louvre and you want to see the Mona Lisa, you're all excited and you get there and you've got to stand back 20 metres and it looks about the size of a matchbox. To have that maybe in future blown up on a wall so that you can see the brushstrokes would be great.
Well, yes. Look, incidentally, I mean, with our Leonardo da Vinci experience that travels around, we have a 300 square metre section of the Mona Lisa and we go into great depths of that particular piece of painting, purely for that, because when I went to the Louvre and again with the family, it's a pretty underwhelming experience for a lot of people. There's a lot of hype that goes about going there, but really the Louvre doesn't really give people much. Obviously the original, nothing replaces that, let's be fair, but you are seeing it from a distance. You are just given a plaque that says La Gioconda, 1503 to 1506, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, but no one really understands the beauty of that piece of art. And I don't understand the history behind it and what Leonardo was trying to do, and that's what we display in our experiences. We're storytellers. We're storytellers of art and culture, and all we're doing here is engaging people through the storytelling, through multi-sensory experiences, so that when they do go and see the originals, which, you know, this is an encouragement to get people to go, they're going with a little bit more understanding and a better knowledge without actually having to read an academic textbook about it.
You've obviously got some other ideas up your sleeve as to what you might replace Van Gogh. A bit rough to be talking about chucking him out after day one. But yeah. How long do you reckon that you'd be able to sustain this here in Melbourne? And you know, what might you do then?
Yeah, look, we've got 9 or 10 different types of experiences out there around the world as well. So we've got a huge French Impressionist experience. We're just about finished the World of Street Art, looking at street art from about 25 cities around the world, which is quite spectacular, the vibrancy and the colours, and totally different to Vincent, of course. It's quite a hip-hoppy, modern, contemporary feel to it. We've got a huge Australian Indigenous experience underway at the moment. We're also looking at other great masters, as well, like the Salvador Dalis and the Picassos, etc.
So that people understand, do you license these images from an owner, or are they out of copyright? How do you get to shove Vincent 11 metres high in a wall?
Yeah, so different things. So, like, for example, we've taken license of Salvador Dali in the United States, and that is through the museum there, and we have to get that license because it is under copyright, but not everything's under copyright. But then you've got to get the images. And someone has the high-resolution images, and it's taken us, the best part of 9-10 years to get all the high-resolution images that we need of 2,500 images that you see in this gallery here, and that's what you've got to hunt down. So you've got to go through the copyright, and then you've got to find who has the high-res images and license those, and then you've got all the music, etc. So it's, it's quite a task behind the scenes. And when we did street art, for example, chasing down 200 street artists from all around the world, and some of them don't want to be found, and some are on scrambler phones, and some are like, no, that's not me. And but we really pride ourselves on getting those approvals, even though they want to remain anonymous, and then we obviously, a percentage of what we make commercially goes back to those artists.
Well, it's a fantastic idea and very well executed. I wasn't quite sure whether I'd walk into 58,000 televisions nailed to the wall, but it's been done very well, Bruce. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you very much. And we're just really, really, really over the moon to finally bring what we do to Melbourne so that people in Melbourne and Australia can really get a feel of what we've been doing around the world for the last 15 years. And I think it'll be a great attraction for Melbourne. We haven't had too many permanent attractions open in Melbourne the last 20 years. Had plenty of events come in and temporary things, but nothing permanent. And this is having Australia's permanent digital art gallery here at MCE. So it's going to be fantastic for Melbourne and Australia.
Graham Kemlow, fresh from the preview of Loom, highly recommends a visit. And take the children. After all, they inspired the idea.
This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.